Wow. Is this on? Is it working? Okay, good. I was up here listening. You guys sounded wonderful. Don't we all love to sing this song? Have thine own way, Lord. We love the music. And then we get to sing those beautiful words. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You know, we love to sing this song worldwide. People love to sing it. But how many of us listen to the words and what they mean? Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have you ever really stopped to look at what we're singing and what those words mean? I recently did some research on what we are asking God to do when we sing this song. And I want to share with you what I found. My fingers will work. What does it mean when we want God to mold us? I read that God would like to mold you into the person He created you to become. But first, we must have a moldable heart and attitude. I also read that as much as God wants to mold you, He will not force anyone to change. We must want what God wants for us. We must want to change. We must be willing to change. So why does God want to change us? Why? Because He loves us. And God wants what's best for us. But do we? Do we really want what's best for us? Or do we tend to accept the worldly idea of this is my life, it doesn't need to be changed a bit, my life is just fine? And there are folks out there that don't like their life, but yet they think, well, I'm stuck with it. And you try to explain to them that God loves them, He's got a purpose for them, what Jesus did by going to the cross, and that Jesus can change their life. Well, I don't want to change. My life's okay. Leave me alone. I like my life. You see, when we ask God to mold us after His will, we must be willing to change as He leads. And as I said before, and you'll hear again, we must want to change. Mold us and make us after Your will. We're not saying, this is my life, I like it as it is, please bless it. We're asking God to change us according to His will. Now listen to this. I recently read a statement that said, God loves you, yes, but God loves you enough not to leave you where you are spiritually. God loves you. Yes, absolutely. But God loves you enough not to leave you where you are spiritually. And some folks around the world give the same response. What do you mean he doesn't want to leave me where I am spiritually? Well, let me read you a statement that I found out a couple days ago. The idea that God loves us and does not want us to remain where we are, this suggests a belief that God's love is not just acceptance, but a catalyst for growth and change. It implies that God desires for us progress and growth in our faith, and that this desire is rooted in His love for us. This means God does want to change us, but we must be willing to change. I don't know about you guys, but for many of us, change is not always easy, is it? But we must truly want what God wants for us. You know, God created each one of us for a purpose. God has a plan for each of us. And over the years, I've told people this, and they're like, well, he hadn't told me what it is. So what am I supposed to do? I said, well, have you asked him to show you what the plan is? Well, no. I said, well, there's a good starting place. Ask him, Lord, what is it you created me to do for you? Because he created everyone in here for a certain purpose. He's given you gifts to use for His benefit. And there's another one. Folks love to go, well, He didn't give me any gifts. Be careful. Scripture says every one of you has a gift. And it may take a while to find it, but you know it helps if you ask. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Earlier we were in Sunday school, we were talking about a sweet little lady that's homebound, can't get around much. But you know, she's one of the most active people in this church, because if you so much as sniffle, she's going to send you a card. If you're having a bad week and she hears about it, she'll send you a card. If you're sick in bed, she will definitely send you a card. If you're in the hospital, she'll send you a card. And I've done hospital visits where you walk in and they go, look at these cards. And many of you guys know who I'm talking about, because you've probably gotten cards from her. But in the hospital, folks, they don't have much going on, but they can read that card. And their heart is filled with her love. And then the message that God is behind everything and He's going to take care of them. And they're filled with God's love. And guess what? Tomorrow whoever can read that card again and once again feel the sweet little lady's love for them. So even though your gift may not be something huge, it's just as important. But each one of us has a gift, and God said He's got a plan for you. Well, how do you know that, George? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. And that's each of you here today. Plans to help you, not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. Now, shouldn't we want His plans for us? You know, but if we truly want God to mold us after His will, we must be willing to follow and obey God. Sometimes when He tells us to quit doing something, or possibly, I want you to start doing this. The Holy Spirit will talk to us, and you'll know what the Holy Spirit is telling us, especially when we're being tempted. Temptation is a tough thing. And when we're being tempted to do something that we know is wrong, but in our mind we're going to do it anyway, the Holy Spirit will quietly remind us that what we're thinking about doing is indeed wrong. And He's politely saying, turn away from that temptation. And then God will give us a way out. He won't force us to take it, but He'll give us a way out. You know, but then we got a choice to make. We can turn from temptation and then be blessed, or we can go ahead and give in to the temptation and put a distance between us and God. We can turn from temptation and be blessed by God. Or we can give in to the temptation, do it anyway, and put a distance between us and God. You may say, well, where in the Bible does it say that it separates, sin separates us from God? Well, let's look at Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities, meaning your sin, have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with guilt. You see, each time we sin, we get further and further from God. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Wanted it his way. Basically, he was telling his father, I don't love you anymore. I want what's mine, and I'm going to leave you to live life my way. And the Bible politely put it as wild living. So what can we learn from that? Is yes, you and I make mistakes. But when we come to our senses, we can turn to God and say, Lord, I've made numerous mistakes. Please forgive me. And He will. If you remember in that parable, the father ran to the son as soon as he saw him coming. Who did the father represent? God. So where does this desire to sin come from? I've heard people over the years say, well, we're only human, we can't help it. I've heard others go way back in the 80s, I think, to Flip Wilson. You remember him? The devil made me do it. So where does this desire to sin come from? And the answer happens to be in James 1, 13 through 15. I'll read that to you. When being tempted, No one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now here we go. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Wow. Dragged away by our own evil desires. But did you know that every sin begins with a single thought? Think about that. Every sin begins with a single thought. So how hard is it to control a single thought? It shouldn't be too hard. But when we see something and we think something, it's like, oh my goodness, look what I'm looking at now. And then you think to yourself, boy, that's almost too good to be true. If you ever have that thought, there's a reason for it. Have you ever been fishing before? Put a worm on the hook? You hide the hook, don't you? Yeah. Because fish are smart. If they see a hook, they're like, duh, I'm not going to go bite the hook. But as soon as they see that lure or that worm and they hit the worm and you hook them, it's too late. Every sin starts with a single thought. And we can turn from that single thought right then and, as I said, be blessed, or we can go ahead and sin for that moment of pleasure, but then we put a distance between us and God. Wow. And it's easy to say, I wouldn't sin. I'm not going to sin anymore. Be careful. So if we're asking God to mold us after his will, make us after his will, then we need to follow the Holy Spirit more closely when he speaks to us during times of temptation. God will give us a way out, but he won't force us to take it. We must do our part when God is wanting to mold us and make us after his will. We must obey God when he speaks to us. There's an old song that teaches us that. You guys might have heard of it. Trust and obey. When we are placed in a position to make a decision whether to follow God or not, we need to choose to obey God. God won't choose for us. He will let us choose whether we want his way in our life or our way. And too often, I'm afraid, worldwide, I'm not just talking to you guys, but worldwide, everybody wants their way. It's my right. I have the right to think this. I have the right to do this. Whether you think it's illegal or not, I have the right. And I'm not talking about anything in particular. I'm just talking about overall. The world today thinks they have the right to do anything they want, and they shouldn't be punished. God gives us free will to choose what we really want. Our way or God's way. And again, that's what the song, Have Thine Own Way, is all about. Having God's way, wanting God's way in our life. But we must do our part to follow the Holy Spirit when He speaks. We must choose to say and mean, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. Have Thine own way, Lord, does not mean that we can live life our way and expect all the blessings God has planned for us. We have to make better choices when it comes to following God and allowing Him to mold us, to change us. So I figure right about now in the sermon, you might be a little confused. Hey, George, how come we're singing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord? And then we got a scripture verse that doesn't really pertain to what we're talking about. What's the deal? What's the deal? Absolutely. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. You see, those verses complement the song, Have Thine Own Way, especially verse 24. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Asking God not only to show us where we need to change, but asking Him to mold us and make us after His will in those areas. Then we need to follow the Holy Spirit as He leads us during that transformation process. And it's not going to happen overnight, folks. But when the Lord starts working in your life, when you say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I want to change. I've heard You created me for a reason, a purpose. Help me find that reason. I'm not a bad person, Lord, but I know You want me to do better. I can't do it by myself. I've tried. But Lord, help me, give me Your strength. And you know something? He will. And He will change your life. So what do you think David was thinking when he wrote this psalm? Verses 23 and 24. 139 is a beautiful psalm. You need to read the whole thing. But what was David thinking when he wrote this? And I looked up the verses 23 and 24, and I want to read to you what I found. Here David is inviting God to his innermost thoughts, asking God to alter his perspective, David's perspective, to see things truly as God sees them, and to help David walk in ways that prosper his soul. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Help me to walk in ways that you want me to walk in. Show me areas that I need to change. Mold me and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. And then David was asking God to give him strength to change his way. Then I read a commentary about Ephesians 2:10. This seems to fit in this reflection beautifully when we are imagining being a lump of clay. Have you ever thought about that? Us being a lump of clay. How many people worked with it in high school, elementary school, learning how to make basically an ashtray? I still have an ashtray I made in the third grade. It was a lump of clay, put your fist in it, move the sides around, put it in the kiln, fire it. But yet other people can slap it on the wheel, get it all wet, and make a beautiful pot or cup or vase. But they knew what they knew when they put that lump of clay on the wheel, what they were going to make. The clay didn't. And whoever was making the pot, the cup, the vase, wasn't going to quit until it was the very best they could do. Now, if God is working in our life, and God is trying to get our attention, and God is reminding us through His Word, I'm the potter, guys, you're the clay, and I have got a wonderful plan for you, but you need to let me into your life. It's more than just a decision to accept Jesus as our Savior. It's saying, yes, Lord, now use me, change me, help me to grow. You see, your life, I want to read this to you, your life is the work of God's hand, just like clay in the hands of a potter. He molds and makes and even breaks when necessary, refines us and shapes us. God uses all things in our life to mold us and make us and shape us after His will. So are you ready? Are you ready to pray this prayer in Psalm 139? Are you ready to pray a prayer in Psalm 51? Let me read this to you real quick. Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You see, it's through these prayers that we are asking God to mold us and make us. And folks, that begins with a new heart. And you remember David? He was known as a man after God's own heart. So what about you? Are you a person after God's own heart? Are you ready today to become or to revive your desire to become a man or woman after God's own heart? Folks, I'm fixing to pray a medley of the Bible verses that we've mentioned today, bits and pieces of the different Bible verses. If you agree with what you hear, simply say to the Lord, yes, Lord, this is what I want in my life. Don't think for a second you're agreeing with George. No, you're not. Although you are, you're agreeing with God's word. Because what I'm telling you is not my words, it's God's words. So if you hear something that you agree with totally, tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I want in my life. Let us pray. Lord, today, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Lord, I'm asking, please, Lord, mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Amen.